I've been trying to bring you some things of understanding that different ones ask about. Now, like, for instance, we got a call today from Keith Nelson. Keith was talking to my Joseph. And Keith wanted to know what was the difference between the new birth and the adoption. There's so much difference that it would take a while to explain it. There's a whole lot of difference. You know, of course, because we've explained somewhat to you, or to some measure, we've explained to you, and you know something of it. There is a difference. There's definitely a difference. I preach to you sometimes about going on to perfection, and I try to encourage you in getting an understanding of the things of God. The Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. When Solomon prayed for an understanding heart, the Bible said it pleased God well. He prayed, Heavenly Father, give me a heart of understanding that I might be able to teach your people and guide your people. For he said, who can speak to these people? So great a people. Who can speak to these people? And so then, I say that even in my day, Jesus said to God's people, he said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. If ye then be gods, as to whom the word of God came, then ye are so great a people. And who then can speak to gods? And then the question arises, what is meant by calling God's people gods? Gods, those are they that live eternally and forever. See, a god never dies. A god is in the mind of one generation, and then when the generation ceases to be, the god is still there in their mind, and they go on worshiping the god. See, because to them, God lives on and on. There's no beginning of days even with our God, and no end of years. So then, we are one with him, and the Bible says, because of the works of Calvary, we have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation, and that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For it is God that justifies us. It is Christ Jesus that died so that he could justify us. So then, we are God's elect according to his foreknowledge. For by foreknowledge, he elected us unto grace, and them that he predestinated, he also did call at the time that the ministry came forth with the word. And he has sealed those that he called. And that I remind you one more time, he hath once and for all sanctified us by the offering up of the body of his lovely son Jesus at Calvary. And the Bible says he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So then, having the perfectness of God through Jesus Christ, and this being that overcometh the world, even your faith and confidence in his finished works, then we find ourselves the privileged children of God. And the Bible said, if we are children, then are we heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful to know about this wonderful word. And when we speak of the adoption, there's a lot to be said about the adoption. But anyway, let's read just a little bit of scripture here out of the book of St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus says here in the 13th chapter of the book of St. Luke, the 20th verse, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is to say, they will not see him until after that tribulation period, as to fight with them, and just prior to that, as to the middle of the week, when he will make himself known to them, and they will be under such suppression, under such weights, until they'll say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It says here, Jesus said, Go tell that fox, speaking of Herod, I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. That's a strange thing to hear Jesus talk about being perfected. Somebody would say, well, I thought Jesus was perfect when he came into the world. I thought he was already perfect. Well, it says here, and the third day I shall be perfected. He tells us to go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of dead works and of dead faith toward God, but that we should go on to perfection. And it tells us concerning Jesus that though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, even to death at Calvary. And therefore being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our salvation. So then we have to remember that though God is perfect, God the eternal spirit is perfect, yet he would be made manifest in a human body to the very ultimatum of his desire and of his thought and of his ambitions as to his project in the earth of setting up his kingdom and of redeeming his people to himself. So then the body of the Lord Jesus being human, it had to go through all the stages of a man as to a little babe being born into the world. And then it had to begin to mature as to a brain, as to a mind, just like you did as a little child. And had to grow up as a teenager with the same conflicts of life. And the Bible said as to humanity, he was tempted in every way the same as you've been tempted. And not in any way was he ever found in sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. So then he says, I'll be perfected. Or what he was saying was, I'll finish my program. I'll finish my program. When I go this last step as to tomorrow, I'll finish my program and that will be it. I will have finished my course, as Paul said. So then, the thing that we're looking for in our life is to finish our course, and as Paul said, to finish our course with joy. We seek to do this with joy. Now, I tell you this again by way of remembrance that you might think upon the things that we spoke of concerning the redemption of the body. I say this so often, and a lot of times it's kind of hard for you to fathom or get a hold of. But I say this to you anyway, by way of remembrance. The Bible speaks of it in one place where it says, I know that you know these things. But even though I know that you know these things, I still feel it's my duty and it's certainly my desire to stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ on the inside of you. You know, it's like the day that gets cloudy. We have a beautiful sunshiny day, and the day star is always there. It doesn't go anywhere. But the clouds, as to an overcast, will bring a veil between us and that light. And it's the same way as to our spiritual inner man. This inner man is looking to God. He's trying to see that great light. And he's trying to look through that rent veil that Jesus rent at Calvary. But every now and then, that mind of Adam and Eve, that mind of Lucifer, that mind of the flesh, that carnal human reasoning that is at enmity with God, that veil of death that fell over the mind of Eve, that took away her faith in that she died in the day that that veil came over her eyes, that is to say, her eyes of understanding. This same veil gets between us and God. Our human reasoning, which is in the flesh, the iniquity that's conceived in the flesh. Paul said, within my body, within my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For when I would do good, I find a law that evil is present with me. So then he had a continual warfare between the body and the soul. See, as it is said concerning science, that when the sun goes into eclipse, the moon goes into eclipse. When we look at these things, we realize that the world has got between. It has got between that which as to the shining of the bright light and that which is the object that is striking. See, or that is to say, if the moon is going around, then it also gets in between. Or whichever object is moving around the other, sometimes it will get in between. And it will cause a shadow. And through the shadow, we of course see the seven dimensional steps of the church ages and of those things. But through the shadows, we see that this thing starts with just a little bit of shadow. And after a while, the whole thing is hid from view and everything goes into darkness. And that's the way it is with you and I. We allow that is of the world to get in between that spiritual man on the inside and that great wonderful light of God that's trying to reach as to the deep, calling to the deep, at the water spout of God, that bright light of God's understanding, trying to penetrate our veil of humanity or get past this human physics of ours, our human anatomy, get down into that spiritual angelic being. So we let our bodies get in the way. We let our desires get in the way. We let our human senses get in the way, or our carnal reasoning get in the way. See, and that causes everything on the inside momentarily to go into an eclipse. And we find ourselves having problems with the creatures of darkness, and we find a battle with the satanic forces that's trying to trample down the minds of humanity. All right, but this is what we have to remember. We have been born again. We have been born again. See, we have already been born again. Now, if we're born again, then are we children? We are children. If someone is born in your family, that's your child. If we're born again, then are we children? And if we are children, then we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So then, if we are born again into the God family, we've been born. If we're born again, then that means that we have passed from death unto life. I want to remind you of this again. The Bible said, and he was delivered, that is, Jesus was delivered to Calvary. He was delivered for our offenses. Because I offend against God, he came down in a human body and was delivered to Calvary and smitten for my sake. And we esteem him smitten of God. And he that knew no sin was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right, so then he was delivered for my offenses. But a few days later, he come from the grave. And the Bible said he rose again for my justification. He was smitten because of my wrongs, but he was brought up to live again in the resurrection as Christ being the resurrection. On that third day when he arose from the grave, he was raised up out of that grave for my justification, to prove that death had no more power over humanity. And from that time we enjoy the wonderful scripture as to where the angel appeared on the hillside to the shepherds saying, peace on earth and goodwill toward mankind. Today, we have an eternal peace toward us, toward the earth, and this thing will never change. God is the unchangeable one. He has sworn by his own self, because he could swear by no greater, that blessing he would bless us, that he would multiply us, and that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so today we are eternal gods, having the measure of Christ in our heart, having the measure of his love. He said, ye are gods. Though you still taste death, though they still put you in a casket, though they still bury you in the ground, he said, yet it's because of the lack of your knowledge. Ye are gods, but you die like men from the lack of knowledge, the God knowledge. The Bible said, since Calvary, now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God. And when we speak of the new birth and passing from death unto life, there is a great mystery as to the faith in this, in that the faith comes by the hearing of the word. So then we find that with this, we pass from death unto life because we have been born again. We've been born again. How am I born again? Nicodemus said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and then be born again? And Jesus said, you being a master of Israel, you don't understand these things, or he could have said these spiritual things. That's when he used the terms, no man has ascended up into the heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven and who is in the presence of God or in heaven. So then we find ourselves God, then how are we gods? If we can die, how are we gods? The question arises. Jesus could die. How then was he God? The Bible said he was God manifested in the flesh, and that the Word in the beginning came forth God, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Whereas, I say again, he tabernacled in the body of Jesus, not in measure, but in the fullness. And the Bible said that Jesus is the full measure of God. Being the full measure of God, or the express or the given image of God, the only image there is. As to the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ was the only object as to the object of worship, in that the word God means object of worship. So then we find that we've been born again, and now we are gods. We are gods, but here Jesus is. He died at Calvary. Though he was God, he could die like a man, and yet no one could take his life from him. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay my life down of my own self. I can take it up of my own self, for this commandment I have of my Father. So then we find that though he had appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, he come back and died as a man. And we find that according to the Bible, though Moses and Elijah is right now at this present moment in glory, but they're coming back on this earth and they're going to die like men. So then we find that the human body, this part, has never yet been changed to Godship. It is in the sight of God changed, because by foreknowledge this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, and preached down through the church ages, and we're told that we're to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this. See, but in our bodily parts, though in God's sight he sees us already changed. The Bible said all of his works are known unto him from the beginning. He sees the end from the beginning. But as a human being, we have not been changed in our body. Though we are the sons of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that is, by the foreknowledge of God, God sees us already changed. He never sees this image as a bastard child image, having been born in Adam all die. He never looks at us again from the time of Calvary as to our new birth. He never sees us again as that human being of faults and failures. He never sees what Paul referred to as the body of this death. Oh, wretched man that I am. That I would do, I do not. That I hate, that I do. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, or that is, the flesh was weak, it could not perform it. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh and nailed it to the cross. and made an end of sin. So today I'm free from the body. As to the body, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it at death. So he said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive unto God. So then we're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things, or the bringing into the millennium, or the correction of that which is in the earth, as to all creation that emanated from God. So then we find ourselves, though we're human beings, yet in the sight of God, we are spotless. We are without sin. He that is born of God cannot sin, for Christ's seed remaineth in him. That is the seed of God, even the sonship himself. God, having sent the spirit of his son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. So Christ Jesus within you is the hope of that glory, for he alone was made heir to the glory of God. So we have the seed of God on the inside, and Paul said, I travail till Christ be former than you. As to the divine conception, Christ is on the inside of me. And it brings a travail to the body, because from the time that Christ Jesus comes on the inside, there's a continual warfare between the body and your spirit. Because Christ comes into your spirit with the mind and desire of the Heavenly Father to do always the things that please God. And Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, is inbred within your flesh. Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So then the continual warfare is there. And so he said, not to let sin reign in your mortal body, not even for a moment. So we see this, that we have something in the body warring against our mind. And Paul said, though on the inside I delight in the things of God and in the laws of God, I desire to do the will of God, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the sin that is in my body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, God sending his son in the likeness or image of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh by taking this body to Calvary, nailing it to the cross, taking my sins out of the way. And now the body of that death is gone in the sight of God, and he never again sees my faults and failures, my stumblings and my staggers. He never sees them again as I go through life. All of these are forever gone. He looks at me not as that was offense unto him that was delivered unto Calvary and smitten, but he sees me as the resurrected Christ, for he was made my sin as to the offenses and the deliverance to Calvary, that I might be made his righteousness, even the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that I might be made the righteousness of God through the resurrection. And today I am one of them that dwell in heaven in his presence, as to my spiritual being, and my spiritual being being translated into the kingdom of God, even the spirit of Christ. So then the kingdom of God is on the inside of me. This is why the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, or the kingdom of God has come. Thy will be done when the kingdom comes. So the kingdom come at Calvary. Now he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was walking the earth, he told him this, you pray, Father, thy kingdom come. Or that is, I'm going away, Jesus said, and this natural body has to be delivered for your offenses. But I will return to them that look for me the second time without sin unto salvation. The world will not see me, but I'll be with you. I'll be in your heart. I will walk on the inside of you. I will dwell on the inside of you. Or that is to say, I will be your God and you will be my children. I will live on the inside of you. That means we have eternal life. There's one that's heir to the glory, and that life of Jesus Christ is eternal life. And the life I now live is the eternal life of the Son of God that I live. Because my temporal life, I live it no more. My temporal life is gone. The body's dead because of sin. But now I have a new life. I'm not the old one that was born in Adam unto death, but I am the new one that's born into the God family by the washing of regeneration into the God family. I've come and I am now alive forevermore. My spiritual being has been translated into Christ's spirit. My angelic being, my inner man, as the Bible calls it, my spiritual being, has been translated into a oneness with Christ. And now that means that I am in heaven. For the kingdom of God is one thing, even Christ Jesus. For the fullness of God dwelt within Christ, and all things, whether gold, silver, pearls, diamonds, knowledge, wisdom, whatever emanates from the bosom of Christ Jesus. So then we see that we are gods. We are gods to the extent that we, as a spiritual angelic being, the Bible said, are equal with the angels who cannot die. And gods cannot die. So then our body profiteth nothing. Our flesh profiteth nothing. It's crucified by the body of Jesus. It's buried in a watery grave in the lovely name of Jesus. As being identified with him, we have been baptized into Christ. And the Bible said, as many as was baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So then as we've been buried with him in baptism, so are we to be raised with him in the likeness of the resurrection. So as to be buried in his death, so are we resurrected in his life. And we live with him, and it's not us living but the glorious body of the Lord, because the Father never sees our image as to that which he doesn't like. Never again. He doesn't see that. But he sees the image and body of his resurrected Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So he looks over the chasm of this death, over the shadows, the valley of the shadows, and he looks to the high mountaintop of that coming of the Thessalonian change to see me as I am in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said at that time he will appear with a shout, with a trump, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed and then caught up to be with him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort ye the brethren with these words. That is, everyone that hath this hope on the inside of him, even Christ, the hope of glory, he purifies himself by faith. God purifies the heart, even as Christ himself is pure. So then we find this wonderful thing has happened to us. What is that? That is the new birth. Our angelic being was translated into the kingdom of God by faith. For the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom is here, the kingdom has been preached, and men press their way, that is against the flesh and the ambitions and gullible desires of the flesh. They, by their spiritual inner being, press their way into the kingdom of God, or that is to say, into the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, which is on the inside of you. So then we know that we've been born again. We sing that song, I'm born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. See, it makes me shout. There's no doubt. I know that I've been born again. So then we're born again. But then what about the body? What about the body? The body was not born again. Only in the mind of God was it born again. But the spirit actually came as the Spirit of Christ into your spirit. And it is now a new life, even the life of Christ. But the body is waiting for the change. And the Bible said we wait to wit the redemption of the body as to the change. We are waiting to wit, not waiting for the redemption. It is the purchased possession. And Christ Jesus, dying at Calvary, died, gave his blood to purchase the body. And the dispute is over the body. Because God is a spirit and made the body for himself, that through this body he might enjoy all natural things. And Satan has disputed over that body to take that body in that he stole it from God through the weakness of man in the garden. He stole this body and he wants this body to make himself manifest in this body that he might have control of the world and all of the things. And the Bible said, until the Lord comes in the brightness of his coming as to the revelational light, that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the Bible said with this wonderful bright revelational coming, that God will destroy him, even Satan, with the brightness of his coming, as to cause him to completely be gone, as to the knowledge of the Lord and faith in God, there will be no shadows, not even a shadow left. See, so then we that are born of God keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not, because we're born of the God of light on the inside, and darkness cannot fellowship light. Light causes darkness to dissipate, so Satan cannot get near us. That intellectual darkness hath no power over us, though it works in our natural minds like a repercussion of somebody having a flashback after they've got off a dope or whatever. But nevertheless, the man on the inside, the Christ on the inside has sealed our human spirit on the inside to where all that is done by the body as to faults and failures and stumblings and staggering cannot be charged against the spiritual man. So all my weaknesses of the body as I stumble and stagger, as long as I'm living holy and godly to the best of my ability, I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to fast, I'm trying to follow God, do everything I can. Doesn't matter what I do as I stumble and stagger, not one time will any of those faults ever be charged against my inter-angelic spiritual being. Never. Because it is sealed with the great Spirit of Christ. And the Bible said, grieve not this precious Holy Spirit that you're sealed with as to your inner man. I say again, as the safeguard that becomes interwoven with the garment. Grieve not that Holy Spirit that has sealed your inner spiritual man to where you can't sin. Don't grieve him. All right, let me say this right here, Ridley, and we'll try to close here. So then we've been born again. But we still wait for the change of the body, to wit the redemption as to the purchased possession. What is that? It's called the redemption of the body as to the adoption or the bar mitzvah. At 12 or 13 years old, the Jew comes to his bar mitzvah. And at that time, he comes into the power of control as to whatever measure. Jesus amazed the wise men at the age of 12. So then, coming into the bar mitzvah, then what does this mean? We come into the adoption. To the adoption. Why does God use the term adoption when he tells me to be born again? If my child is born into my family, most assuredly I wouldn't have to adopt him into my family. But nevertheless, the Bible said we have to come to the adoption. Why is that? Because as Jesus made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, there is a body and there is a spirit. And that spirit can be born again, translated into the Spirit of God, into the kingdom of God, as a child of God, in that God is a father of spirits or a heavenly spirit. So then, that is our new birth. But our body cannot do that because it was born into the family of Adam. And therefore, the only way that this body can ever be God's, or the only way that this body can ever come into God, it must be adopted in. And I say to you again, for that to happen, it has to go through the law. To adopt a child, you have to go through the law. And this is why that Calvary, at Calvary, though the law was folded up and laid away, yet it must come again at the end of the Gentile age, and must come again at the time of the coming of the Jews. When the days of the Gentiles are over, then comes the Jew again. When the Jew comes, then comes the law again, because their body is under the constraint of the law. And when they died at Calvary, it represented the body going out of the presence of God. As the head, Jesus Christ, to that body was smitten, so was the members as to this Jewish body smitten. As the head has come to us as to the spiritual Christ, so is the spiritual members as the inner man knitted together as to having been baptized by one spirit into this glorious spiritual body. Now, so waiting for this body, when the Jews come in, Paul used a revelation like this when he saw a great revelation. He said, I see a revelation. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Well, that is, when the Jews went out of God's presence, it indicated the death of the sinful body in the presence of God, to where God will never have to charge anything against the body. And if that brought the Gentiles in, who at that time was alienated from God because of bodily sins, if that brought them in, that now their body was dead, that sinful body, God could accept their spirit. And today we are a spiritual church. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as spiritual. But then at the end of this Gentile age, then the spiritual side of life as to the teachings of God will be over. Then comes the body back in as it was the Jew before the spirit came in at Calvary. So then comes the body back in, because they're the one that takes care of the body. They're the one that keeps the body. They're the one that tries to be holy in body. And the Bible tells us to be holy in body and spirit. We're working our way up to this in the body, not as to perfection unto salvation, but to make perfection that's inwardly manifested in this outer man, to bring it to that fullness of that wonderful redemption of body. In that Christ was perfect on the inside, and that perfection was manifested in his body day by day to his growth and change. As he came to a new day of growth, there came a new manifestation as to that measure. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd done that very same thing and never did get behind with ours? Always stayed caught up with it like Jesus. Never was there any sin in his life. But we drag ours out a lot of times and we go through chastisement and whatever for God to get our attention so he can change that body as it goes on to be made perfect, as to, that is to say, allow the sin of perfection to be made fully manifest in these mortal genes. So then we find that when the law comes back in, the Jews coming back in, that will be the change of the body. For at the very time that the Lord Jesus appears to show them the nails in his hand, at that very time something is going to happen. A nation is going to be born in one day. But when the Lord comes for us in Revelation 19, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed from mortal to immortal. And we will be changed from terrestrial to the celestial. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Or that is to say, at the resurrection of the Jews, what will that be? As to the resurrection of the dead. Or the resurrection of the dead, what will that be? But as to the resurrection of the Jews, or that is, the Jews will come back into the presence of God. No more Holocaust, no more blinded in part, no more saying, let his blood be upon us and the sufferings, but they'll come back into the presence and the favoritism of God. And at that time, it will indicate that the days of the Gentiles are over, because as long as they're out of the presence of God, they go back to the Old Testament teaching of that goat that went away into the wilderness as the scapegoat to bear our sins. So when the natural head comes to the natural members, all of it will unite itself together to bring in a millennium as to a nation born in one day, and Jesus, the head of that nation, sitting on the throne, ruling through that 1,000 years millennium reign. All right, so then we simply see as to the adoption, that is why we wait for the adoption. This is why that the Jews had to go out of the presence of God, and Jesus had to die out of the presence of God so that we could live in the presence of God. Because if that had not happened, then today he could not spare us. But the blood being on the seat of atonement, all of the world today, their sins are gone. Though they are sinners, yet God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he gave his son to die for us. And so then all the world has a blessing of medical aid and all these wonderful things as to good living while grace is here. But the days will be over at the ending of the Gentile time. So I say this in real simplicity where you can understand it, that you being a sinner by nature, then there was no way that God could save you. He would have had to destroy you. He couldn't even look upon you. But by putting the blood on the seat of atonement, letting Jesus die, and the Jews died of his presence, then that meant your body was forever dead in the presence of God. He could never see your sin and iniquity again. The image of death as in Adam, all that was now gone. John laid the axe to the root of the tree. That family tree was cut down all the way back to Calvary. Today, now we're the tree of life as to the spiritual side of it. See, and he hath accepted us as a spiritual being, laying aside the body of this death to never look upon it, never charge any of our errors against us. And now he is bringing the Jews in after the Gentile age or the church ages, and he will bring them in body and let them rule and reign 1,000 years in that perfect body to the perfect order of his laws and whatever. So when the Jews come in, then that means that our bodily righteousness, which was perfected in Jesus, in that God made us to be in Jesus Christ, his workmanship unto perfection. Or that is to say, that perfectness of God that he hath accredited to us will then come into view and will be changed like that. And that body that we do not see perfect now, that body will be gone, and there will be a spiritual body, in that this body will be changed into a celestial, and then that wonderful Christ body that we now have by predestination as the foreknowledge and foresight of God will be made manifest to where people can look upon. So then we're waiting for the change and redemption of our body. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and caught up into heaven. So our body is out of the presence of God, and it's out of the sight of God as the Jews. And God never looks at it. It's dead, it's gone, it's buried. God delivered us from the body of this death, this corruptible flesh. And today he sees us as that translated spirit into the kingdom of his dear son is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he doesn't charge anything against you. And the Bible said he hath perfected you forever by the works of the Lord Jesus, or made you perfect. Having translated you as a spiritual being into the wonderful kingdom of God, having translated you out of the kingdom of darkness as to the intellectual mind of death into the marvelous kingdom of light as to this wonderful mind of Christ, even the words of light. So we see what the adoption is. Soon the adoption will take place. But until that time, though you be Lord of all, you differ nothing from a servant. You are under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. And then this glorious, wonderful light, Paul said, shall be made manifest in your mortal genes. And they that have turned many to righteousness shall outshine the brightness of the noonday. So that ought to make you happy tonight to know that God has perfected you forever, that you cannot sin, you keep yourself in the evil one, touch you not. And that, as I always say, the angel said Messiah 483 years following that, as the prophecy of Daniel, has done away with death. He came and made an end of death because he made an end of sin. And today you're free from death and you're free from sin. You're free from the transgression of the law. Whereas the Bible said, deliver me from the great transgression. So we've been delivered from the great transgression, and we are delivered from death and sin. And today we are free. But we need to praise God and love the Lord and not play around with the flesh. For the flesh profiteth nothing. We should not have our minds on the flesh, nor follow after the image and ambitions of the flesh, nor have the gullible desire of the world within us. For if the love of the world's in you, then your spirit has not been translated into Christ's spirit. For Christ's spirit hath no desire for the world. He said, I'm not of this world. The world loveth its own. I'm not of this world. And when you're born again, then you're in a heavenly place. You are, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, they that dwell in heaven. So then, let's remember that, and let's keep the body under subjection, bring it into subjection, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being you that live, but Christ that lives within you. And the life you now live, you live by the Son of God. And when the time of the change comes, you'll be glad. Can we stand together? We are witting the change. We are learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, speaking of the body. The body does go to sleep. It is not dead as to being a Christian, because the Spirit of life will come and pick it up, change it. But if you go out to meet God, and you go out to meet God without being born again, then that simply means that you are dead. Because death is when your spirit departs from God to never come back into his presence. Sleep is when your spirit departs from your body and shall return to pick it up. But your spirit is still interwoven in a oneness with God, so there's no death to it. It just departs from your body and your body goes to sleep. But because you've done the things that please God in denying yourself and following after Christ, he hath given you the body as an inheritance and will give you the earth, which abides forever with all the wonderful treasures of the celestial side of life, the new earth and the new city. He will give you the body so that you can enjoy all of these things as a spiritual being through that body, while he enjoys all of them with you through the body of Jesus Christ, being your king. Let's sing together, can we? Let's sing, I love him. So there is a difference between the adoption and the new birth. There is a definite difference. I hope that you can comprehend and understand what we're saying is pertaining to this mystery. And as we go on, even as to the mystery of them that shall not sleep, and to the mystery of the faith and many other things, as we go on, Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. And it's expected of a steward that he should be faithful. Right, let's sing together. I am going to a city where the streets with gold. the roses never fade. Can you sing with me?
Yeah, they bloom, but for a season. Soon their beauty will decay. But I am going to that
fade. Sing that with me, can
you? Here they bloom but for a season. Then their beauty will decay. But
can you sing that one more time, my man?
Yeah, they bloom but for a season. Then the beauty fades away. But I'm going to a city where the roses never.
One more time together.
I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. And then after that, they decay and their beauty fades. But I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Sing this with me, can you?
And he was here all the time.
Sing that with me.
My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. Time.
Can you sing that with me?
My Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting in line. He was here all the time, and he touched me on. He touched me and all of joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole.
Say it one more time now.
For my Lord touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made
love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Let's lift our hands up. The Lord is with us. He is for us. He wants to guide us. He wants to touch us. He wants to teach us. He wants to help us. So thankful. So thankful for him. Let's lift our hands up and let's sing this together.
I'm born again and I'm free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day.
Sing the word.
And it makes me shout. No doubt, for I know I'm born again. For I'm born again, and I'm free to sing. For I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout, my friend, there's no doubt. Oh, I know I'm born.
Can you sing that with me? You've really been born again.
So we're born again, and we're free from sin, and we're happy night and day, and there's no doubt. Makes me shout, I know that I've been born.
Can you sing it one more time?
Born again, free from sin, for I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout, for there's no doubt, for I know I'm born.
I want to sing it again.
And we're born again.
Don't you feel born again? Do you really feel born again? Just think, though the body tries to give you all kinds of problems, yet you're born again, and you're free from the body of that old death. In spite of all of its arguments, in spite of all of its problems, oppressions, threats, whatever, you're free from it. Let's give him a wave off.
Born again, free from sin, oh, I'm happy night and day. makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know that I've been born again. Sing it again now. For we're born again, free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know that I've been born. Can you sing that with me, folks? For we're born. I can tell you are born again. You can feel that in your heart, can't you? You feel the Spirit. You know that you're spiritually born again, waiting for the change of that body. But you already have eternal life, already passed. Can never lose that eternal life. Just think, you're eternally rich. You're eternally young. You're eternally filled with wisdom and glory that'll outshine the noonday sun. So we're born again, and we're free from sin, and we're benighted and day. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I can tell that I've been born. We're going to sing it again. Sing it again. I've been born again, and I'm free from sin. Oh, happy night. I really am, folks. I really am. Makes me shout. Oh, there is no doubt, for I know that I'm. Sing that one. For we're born again, and we're free. Do you believe you're free from sin? I mean, really, genuinely free from sin? Do you believe that you sin every day, or that Jesus saved you from your sins, and that He made an end of sin, and that since transgression of the law is sin, and you're dead to the law by the body of Jesus and cannot sin, cannot transgress? Do you believe you're free from sin? I am. Makes me want to shout and dance. Don't it make you want to dance? I can just dance and dance and dance and dance. Oh, I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout. Oh, there is no doubt, Bethlehemites, they are born. One more time. Look at them young'uns. See them children, see them little girls and boys waving their hands. They know what we're talking about. Happy night and day, and it makes me shout, and there is no doubt for me. One more time. I've been born again, got His Spirit deep within, and I'm happy now, and it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know that I've been. Just one more time together. I've been born. Speaking of me now, I don't know about you. It's up to you and the Lord. I'm happy night and day. Got it deep down within. Makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know that I've been. Can you sing it just one more time? For I'm born. Got His Spirit deep within, and I'm happy night and day. Makes me shout, there is no doubt, oh, I know I've been born
just one more time anyway.
So I'm born again, and I'm free from my sins, and I'm happy night and day. And it makes me shout, friend, there's no doubt, I know I've been born again.
Somebody say hallelujah. I believe you really believe that you've been born again. If you really believe deep down in your heart that you've been born again, I want you to raise your hand. Can you feel the Holy Ghost on the inside? I believe that you really have been born again. Folks, I really believe that from my heart. I believe that you've been born again. I can feel it all the way up here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.